Welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week in Apple. Well, actually, we'd like to discuss the week in Apple, but I don't think we're going to get past the first story in 2 hours. It's just not going to happen. joining me to discuss Apple versus the FBI, which I think is what it's going to turn into, Chris Campion. Mate, first time on the Mac Show, isn't it?
No, I did the Christmas quiz, but yeah.
All right, okay. The Christmas quiz doesn't count. Jesus Christ.
Ewan's not even here for that.
Yeah, that's right. I don't even show up. Yeah. Forgot about that.
Yeah. I might feel virgin then tonight.
You been all right, mate?
No, not bad at all.
Didn't you go to the theatre today?
Yeah, I went a little half-term.
Watch some classic repertory.
Say again.
Watch some classic repertory theatre.
We went to see The Bear, children's adaptation. So yeah, I quite enjoyed it. And tomorrow we're off to the National Space Centre down your way.
Oh, you're going to love that, mate. You're going to absolutely adore that. It's brilliant. Only topped by the Science Museum in London.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to it. Daughter's been in space at school, so we're going to go play.
Bloody hell, is that safe?
We'll see. We'll find out tomorrow.
Righto. Okay, fair enough. Next to him, it's Adam. How are you doing, mate? Have you sharpened your machete for this?
I'm doing good, yeah, hopefully. I've done my research. I've spent the past 24 hours pretty much straight reading this stuff, trying to make sense of it.
Dude, that's disgusting.
I'm here to bring reason and facts to the conversation.
Well, those are three things that this show's never been good on. So, yeah. Well done, mate. You were in the chat room last night when it all kicked, or the Slack room when it all kicked off.
Oh, my God, the Slack room blew up. I think we killed it.
Oh, my life. What an evening that was. I was sitting in front of the TV. My wife was not happy with me. Not happy at all. Not because of what I was saying, but the fact that I just didn't get my face out my phone from when I came home. Not good. Next to him, Doc.
Aloha.
First you weren't coming, then you were coming, now you are coming, now you're here. You're brilliant. Oh, mate, well done. Where on earth did you get the idea we weren't doing a show?
I literally got a message in my Gmail that said that event was cancelled by Paul Wheatley.
Well, he's wiped you off the meeting invite thing on the calendar, but I guess he assumed you weren't coming because you didn't reply, and this is 2 weeks running now. I think that's a hint you need to reply yes.
I never reply.
No, I know, but I think he needs you to. He's got a baby coming, mate, imminently, so he needs some structure in his life. He's all ends up at the moment.
We've ended up on the wrong show anyway.
I've checked where my parcel is, mate.
Yeah, I know. It's in customs in the UK.
Yeah, it's been in customs for 3 frigging days.
Hey, so that goes to show you that your government is just as mental as ours.
Shitty. It's not because you posted at UPS.
What did you send?
So they're all going through the parcel and they're going, oh, UPS, UPS, FedEx. Yeah, do those. What about this one? It's USPS. Nah, leave it. They don't think it's coming yet anyway. It's only USPS, Christ's sake.
Yeah.
Because
our postal system is losing money so bad that they resulted to going out to all the old catalog places that used to get these catalogs from weird places, right? Like Hemel and Schlemmel and Harriet Carter and whatever. And it kind of died off.
Schmacker and Macker,
all of a sudden, catalogs are coming back. Like I'm getting catalogs for like the old cheese thing. My crappy plate for Christmas. It comes with like summer sausage and some weird looking Slim Jims and some rotten cheese. Like they're starting to send those back out again. So they're asking these old mail order companies to send out catalogs so they can make some stamp money.
So you know you get Hammocker Schlemmerky thing on the airlines.
Yeah.
Do you get that in real life as well?
Yeah. So now they send it because the post office is losing money over email. They started sending that crap directly to the door.
You can't tell me you don't get the B&H phone book.
Oh,
no.
I get the B&H phone book.
We don't. They don't send it to me. I've spent enough money with them to get it, but they don't send it to me.
Jesus, that thing's like 2 inches thick.
I've had one of them, and they did send it to me. Right, I said, can I have one of your books? And he went, yeah, no worries. And he sent it on absolutely good as gold. I couldn't get over it. But I didn't get another one. It's not like I went on a mailing list or anything. So.
Yeah, it's super funny how they... It's just so random that they just all of a sudden started sending these catalogs. And it started about a year ago, and at first I didn't pay any attention to it, but then I'm seeing catalogs that I thought were defunct show up. And that is the part that sort of...
Once you're on the list, they all share it. So,
yeah.
You're done.
Oh, man. That's not good. That is not good. one of my main protagonists last night in the Slack room was Patrice.
Yeah, and I still don't know why.
And he's here now. Yeah, we had a bit of a set too, mate. But I'm telling you, you freaking said it, all right?
No, you didn't read it. That was the point.
No, you didn't read it. See, this is the thing. You're going, oh, you're not getting me. And I said, right, you did the unreasonable behaviour thing or whatever it was, the unreasonable thingy. And I said, you said that. And you said, no, I never said that. So I sent you a picture of where you typed that. And you went, you've misquoted me. I'm like, that's not a quote. I said you said that. And you said you didn't. And no, you said Ewan, it.
The thing really was, A... I said that Apple wouldn't get paid for unlocking the phone. I told you I didn't say that. I never said that Apple wouldn't get paid. So that was the point. And then you pulled out this quote out of context. So that was the whole story.
Let's forget the Slack room since everybody here now.
I didn't
even
get why you were upset because
let's move on.
It was a non-story for me.
We can misquote each other now.
I even agreed with you.
I heard you, Adam.
let's have an argument in someone's second language. It never goes well, does it? Although his English is better than mine, of course. And last but by no, this is going to surprise everyone because we're doing this story and it's to do with the FBI and it's to do with legally issued warrants. I've asked Mueller's opinion. Yeah, I know. So one thing you should know before we start this is that Mueller is an ex-copper and has obtained many a warrant to do various things under the guise of pretending to be a West Midlands police officer many years ago.
So you're just exemplifying why Apple does need to block this warrant.
Oh,
this proves the point.
There's people looking at this
where
image
this
going, Christ,
really
this criminal, the criminals look rough. Oh, it's not a criminal. So Mueller's got some very good experience that he can bring to this. So hopefully you'll chip in and not put some link that takes us to some porn thing that just doesn't work. I would like to suggest, just before you even go any further with this, I'm not going to edit this show in the slightest. Whatever happens, happens. Whatever is said, is said. If an expletive is used, I am not going to bleep it, okay? Because I think there's going to be a few of them here. Like I said, we'd like to go through the week in Apple, but I think we're going to end up doing pretty much this story only. Yes. So FBI has been out and has issued a court order / warrant that compels Apple to open a phone that relates to the San Bernardino shootings from a little while ago. Tim Cook has written an open letter, which, you know, we'll talk about whether that was the right thing or not to do. And they're talking about the warrant states things like the passcode retry thing has got to be undone. And the automatic erase thing that's in the iPhone 5C that's been sorted out has got to be removed. And Apple should write a custom UI for this specific phone, which means that it can't go into any kind of protection mode, and they want the information that's on this phone, and they've got an order that says that they can have it from a judge. And the internet has gone into meltdown mode. I did say this morning that lack of competence and knowledge doesn't seem to hinder opinion, but there's an awful lot to discuss around this, I'm sure. So there you go. You've had your warning. If you're sitting with the family in the car with the kids there, and you're thinking, "Oh, I'll listen to the Max Show. The kids will love it." No, they won't. Just listen to this when you've got a quiet moment, because it could be, it will get an explicit tag. Though, I do promise you. So there you go. Apple required by the FBI to help them get into a phone to get data out that could be pertinent in the San Bernardino trial. What's San Bernardino about? Just before we get any further.
Husband and wife team rolled into a government facility and just opened fire on people a couple of months back.
And killed quite a few. 12,
yes.
14, I believe.
12, 14. 14. Right, okay.
It was 14, yes.
We got differences of opinion already.
It was 14.
So this was a federal building, wasn't it? It's not the general public. It's not a carve-up down in a local supermarket or anything like that. This is... people that work.
I don't know if it was a federal building.
It was
a federal agency or the local. I can't remember.
All right, okay. So
But it does bring in the interesting fact that actually this phone was one that was issued to the employee by his employer. So it is a government-owned iPhone.
Oh, now that's quite interesting. So yeah, everyone's been going on thinking that this was the dude's phone.
No, it's the one that was issued by his office.
Right.
I don't think it would matter, but...
No, it doesn't, but it's just an interesting point.
I think it is massively material, surely.
Because that belongs to the company, not to him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why the FBI has it, and the company's been cooperating fully with the FBI with allowing them to access the phone, if they can.
So, what? Apple's been cooperating fully?
No. The company who owns the cell phone.
Right.
The Department of Health for the San Bernardino County, California is the...
Yeah, employee. It's a local county government.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, right. So they want it open as well as...
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, right. Okay. So, I mean, the first question that you've got to say here is, and I think this is one of the things, if we backtrack and pricey a little bit, the conversations that started off in the chat room last night, or in the Slack room, Mueller and I were the ones that were saying, whoa, hang on, this is a warrant. This is a legally obtained document that requires you to do something. You don't have a right to go, stuff it, I'm not doing it. You can appeal, yeah, okay, but appeal is where you go, please, I don't want to do this bit. And I can see that this warrant might get amended a fair bit, don't get me wrong, because Apple will come out with some technical stuff that means that they can't do certain things, perhaps. But in the essence of it, they're going to do something. They're going to help the FBI get into this phone. Otherwise, there's going to be someone goes to jail and spends the night in jail. And me and Mueller were saying, you know, hang on, steady on, this is a legal issued warrant. And the problem was that the Slack room started to go off on NSA, police entering premises without warrants. And they started going off on stuff that was absolutely, forget about nothing to do with this case. It was nothing to do with security of cell phones at all. And that's the real problem with cases like this, is they seem to touch like this blue, the fuse that gets all of the scaremongering tinfoil hat brigade to go whoosh and talk about absolutely everything that the NSA did a few months ago. And that's not this. That really isn't this.
And Apple is definitely on the forefront of this. I mean, the open letter from Tim Cook. I mean, they want to fight it, not on the ground. It's too hard for them, or they can't do it. They want to find it on the grounds that this is a bigger issue. So they are the ones that are pushing everybody in that direction.
I love the fact that Mueller's put about 35 links in the chat room. And it's like, okay, I've read these over the last 24 hours, so I'm up to speed because I knew I was coming on the show. So you lot can just catch up.
But the point is, we all know not to click on Mueller's links.
They're safe.
Don't click on Mueller's links, whatever you do. Yeah, I mean, the Tim Cook letter, I think that's a bit naughty, I have to say, because Tim's got an axe to grind with the US government because everyone's talking about backdoors in cell phones as a subject, and this isn't that. And Tim is using this to grind that. And okay.
For sure.
There's a lot of suggestion.
But there's a reason for that, Ewan, and not in any kind of Apple versus anybody way. What tends to happen with the US government and the US media is they will often throw in the theory and like upsetting stuff in order to politicize a particular thing, so push a particular thing. So he is responding to the politicization that is being done by the government. If this was all done in quiet and it didn't, you know, come out in any way, maybe they would have dealt with it differently. But what these guys do is they go, we're going to go talk to Apple. They immediately called all the media and said, be ready because we know Apple's going to give us a pushback. They politicized it by not doing this secretly or quietly. Apple didn't tell everybody that this is going on. Apple never tells anybody anything. The police told.
There's also a lot of evidence, again, you know, that the government's agenda in this is not about this one phone. If you look at the information that they already have, what's going on with the case, they are intending this to be a bigger issue. And again, that's speculative, but if you start to put together the pieces of what sort of led up to this, then it's not hard to make that jump or conclusion and feel that it's logically sensible.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate for a second. And before you all write in and call me a wanker, I will be playing devil's advocate a fair bit tonight, all right? So just accept that I'm doing that. To be fair, Adam, we don't know what the intent of the FBI is once they get into this phone. Correct. They could be looking for backside accomplices. They could be looking about a cell whereby this is a structured thing that may take place again. You know, and they're right not to rule that out, surely.
That's not what I'm talking about, though. I'm talking about the information that they already have from this phone.
Yeah. Mm.
Apple has already turned over. We know that Apple has already turned over all of the iCloud data for this phone. We're fairly certain that they've already gone through with the cell companies and gotten all call records and cell records and other such things. So they have a lot of evidence that even if Apple does this, that they're just going to re-obtain. So you have to ask yourself, if they already have all that stuff, the two people in this case are dead. And I'm right. They're looking for more information. They're looking for more background stuff on this. I get that. But at the same time, you really have to question, you know, what are they going after here? And there's all kinds of other unanswered questions. Even if they can get what Apple's asking for, even if Apple does what they're asking for, there's no evidence that they're even going to be able to still get into this thing.
Hmm.
And that was my main thing is that they already have what they need to know. And it's easy to go and say, oh, well, we need to know more. So now this is
well, iCloud doesn't give them email. It doesn't give them texts. There's a lot of stuff it doesn't give them. It doesn't give map usage.
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is they're saying this case is the key to unlock what they've wanted for months before this case ever happened. So they're trying to use this as a precedence in order to get access in. And then, you know, like everyone says, once the access has been granted, once the precedence has been set, then it's easy to fall back on this over and over again. It would even get a law name like the San Bernardino bill says that all phones must have a back door. You know what I mean? That's the kind of stuff that happens.
Well, let's reel it back in because this is not about a back door. This is not about a permanent back door in cell phones. It's got nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
The BBC summarized this up quite well in terms of exactly what the FBI want to be able to do. And then they summarize it under four key points. So they want to prevent the phone from erasing itself. So if you get the passcode wrong, 10 failed attempts, the iPhone can erase itself and all personal data from the device. So that's point number one. The FBI don't want that to happen. Point number two, they want to automate the process for trying out password combinations. So ultimately, on a four-digit passcode, which is what's been used on that phone, there's around 10,000 possible combinations. The FBI wants to be doesn't obviously not be able to guess them manually, so they want to be able to run essentially a brute force attack against that four-digit combination. So they want to be able to do that. Point three, without the unnecessary delay. So each time you get the code wrong, it drops a longer and longer period between the opportunity to retry it. they want the opportunity to stop that delay. And point four, control the process, but they don't know they don't want to know how it's done. So the way the BBC stated, interesting line, it suggests the FBI is willing to allow Apple to work on the phone on its own at its own HQ and in a way that doesn't risk the encryption software being released to the world. But I think for me that's the four key pointing exactly what they're wanting to do.
Yeah. And
two factual errors there I need to correct.
Okay.
One is that I don't think we know that it only has a four-digit passcode. That's not clear. At least from everything that I've read. I haven't seen anybody definitively say it only has a four-digit passcode. If it does have an only four-digit passcode and they can get what they want, the FBI can crack that thing in about 30 minutes.
Well, hang on. They would know that before this warrant was issued because they would be offered four spaces. They wouldn't be offered eight.
I don't think the warrant specifically says four-digit passcode in it.
No, it doesn't.
No, right, okay.
Okay, so we don't know that it only has no one knows what the password is, but that's inconsequential. The other thing is the delay does not get progressively longer on this device because it's an iPhone 5C, and the delay is always 5 seconds. If it was a newer model, one with a secure enclave, that's the one that adds longer and longer periods up to an hour with each successive failed login attempt. But right now what they're dealing with is if it was a four-digit passcode and with the five-second delay, without Apple giving them what they want, it would take them, I think, roughly a year or so to crack the passcode because they have to wait 5 seconds between every attempt.
If it was four digits.
If it was four digits.
When, Yeah. And then when you said the government, what you meant is actually the FBI, because yes. I mean, if you read the court order,
I think it's very reasonable, and that the judge actually put a lot of checks in place, like the software Apple creates must only be able to run on a single device, on this particular device, and there's the option for Apple to do it on their on their own ground, on their own facilities. So, and they only have to give the FBI access to the device then, remotely through a computer or something. So Apple doesn't even have to crack anything. They only have to install this custom software, and then they're good to go.
Well, so yeah. Now Horse is talking to me in the chat room here, and he's quoting. He said at you, and he said, quote, they have asked us to build a backdoor to the iPhone. They haven't. Mm-hmm. Now, if Tim's put that, and I don't know if Tim has put that. But
no,
if,
he has. He put that in the open letter.
That's totally wrong, because that is not what they've been asked to do here. Not at all.
So where's the custom software?
That's not what it states in the case.
The custom software is not a backdoor.
No, I don't understand. No. The custom software doesn't exist right now, right? Yeah, so that means someone has to make this custom software. And maybe the only way for this custom software to work would be for there to be a backdoor. So, I mean,
No, that's not accurate.
Apple is not allowed to change the system itself, the iOS. So that is part of the court order. They are not to change the integrity of the data of the operating system. So they can
How does one suppose that they do this unless they create the backdoor?
Runs from the RAM.
What Doc, just to be clear, what they're being asked to create is a version of the firmware for the operating system, or firmware is probably not accurate, a version of the software for the operating system. It's asked to be installed and run in RAM, and basically what they want it to do is just disable the security checks that cause the phone to be delayed. So there's kind of three checks that happen. One is... what was mentioned earlier, that the phone doesn't erase itself if 10 invalid attempts are made. Two is that they turn off the delay, the 5-second delay between password attempts. And then the third one is that they get physical access to the device so that they can run the password. So that they can run the password attempts through a cable rather than having to type them out on the screen. Those are the three things that they're asking Apple to build a little firmware to disable. Yeah. And Apple can do that. And they can do that. Another point that people are throwing out, they're saying with the secure enclave, if you had that you wouldn't be able to do that. Apple has come out publicly and said, even with the secure enclave, they could do that. And so root of Tim is misusing the word backdoor. Some people have quoted him as saying he's trying to broaden the term backdoor, because what he's interpreting as the backdoor is if we build this one hack, this one time for this one phone, the concern is that the government will continually start to ask over and over again. They'll say, well, you did it in this case. We want you to do it in this next case.
That's what I mean.
And it'll get broader and broader.
By the way, the judge also said that Apple has an easier way for the FBI to get access without disabling those security checks.
Then they could do it. So it's not that they have to do it the way the judge said.
So hang on, because that's the first I've heard of that. I mean, is that verified as being the correct truth that it is verified? Yesterday I posted the full order in the chat. No, I don't want about the order. I want to know about the technique. This other technique that means that the technique that the FBI are asking for is unnecessary. What you've just said.
No, the order says if Apple has a way to do the same thing without the court order, then they can do it.
It's saying Apple can do it differently if they know of a different way to get them the same access.
Yeah. But I'm just pointing out what I'm thinking, though, and I'm saying, like, it doesn't matter how easy this is. It could be just as simple as easy as, you know, Tim Cook sticking a thing in the SIM card slot, problem solved. But the precedence of once you open said Pandora's box, you cannot close it, and the box is going to get bigger. And that's what I think Tim has been trying to say. And I, you know, I'm not going to say he maliciously misquoted the backdoor thing. Sometimes CEOs of companies, no matter how smart they are, say shit the wrong way when they're upset or heated, or whatever.
Let's be honest, Doc. This just didn't come straight from Tim's keyboard. This will have gone through God knows how many lawyers before it.
Yeah, that's true.
The language was very deliberate because, as Ewan pointed out, Apple is fighting a different battle on a different front, both with the UK government and the US government. There are agencies that want Apple and other smartphone companies to build backdoors. So he's using this incident to broaden what they feel the definition of a backdoor is, and saying, look, this is a version of a backdoor in our opinion, and that helps them lead into their other argument in the other case. And I think that's a little bit of what you're objecting to, Ewan, if I'm not putting words into your mouth.
My objection, really, and I think I don't really care about the overall precedents that are on set in this, because my fundamental...
Right. And I think you should, but...
Well, hang on. Are you telling me then that you have a fundamental right to withhold information which is material to a murder case from your government?
Glad you're asking me this question.
Bear in mind, just a second.
I don't know how it is over there. In the U.S., Apple does have the right to appeal and to push this up and to push back. They do not have to just give in.
That's a different thing, mate. I am not saying whether you... I am not saying whether you can't go, oh, hang on a second a minute, that's going to be really difficult for me, and you can appeal or amend or push back. Let's go to a very basic question. Do you, as the not accused person, so if you're the accused person, you have a right of silence, both in the UK and the US,
correct.
That's fine. I'm not talking about as the accused person. If you are not the accused person and you are in possession of information that's material in a criminal proceeding like a murder trial, do you have a right to withhold that information permanently from your investigation forces and government?
Yes.
No, you do not.
You're getting in a gray area because Apple doesn't have possession of the information. The FBI does.
Hang on. You were the one that went down this path. Just answer my frigging question.
And I'm saying no, because it happens all the time with reporters. Reporters all the time, they get thrown in jail even on the whole notion that they know the source, they know the answer.
Stop. Why do they get thrown in jail?
You just proved
it's a contempt thing.
Because they don't have the right to withhold the information. That's why they get thrown in the freaking jail.
Let's fix something. You know, we have a thing about rights and privileges, so it's not a right. It's an ethics thing, right? So
that's not the question I asked. Let's not defer. Let's not divert. Right. Let's stick to the question I've asked.
You're right. Damn it. On the list of the words, you're right,
you.
But no one does it. And the guys that get thrown in jail get thrown in for 24 hours and released.
Dude, I just want you to know I've got wood for you right now.
What?
Because
you
said I was right.
Damn it.
That's about 3 weeks running now, maybe four, actually. No, the point is that I think the thing is
he's not... So, yeah, maybe eventually if Apple keeps fighting this, somebody goes to jail, but it's going to be years, I guess is my point.
No, that's not the answer to the question still. This is the point. Is if I ask you a very basic and straightforward question, someone's always got something to divert and deflect the answer. And this is the real crux of the issue. Does anyone... Let me finish my question again.
Yes, they can't withhold the material evidence because there's a warrant.
Right.
So that's the answer. Yes, they can't.
Your government does not have the right to permanently withhold information from you under court order. Because you say they do. They kept all the secrets from the war. No, they had to place specific time periods on when that secrecy would elapse. And if they are requested by court order, they can appeal that and say, I'm sorry, but this is part of an ongoing investigation which will compromise the results, so we're not going to give you the information. And the judge will go, okay, fair enough. Or this would compromise the identity of one of our operatives who would then be placed at risk, therefore we're not going to do it or compromise the case. So they don't do it. They have to go through this judicial process. And I don't care whether you're a tinfoil hatter or whether you're a complete moron, you want your government to go through legal process. And if it does go through legal process, you have to comply. Because if you don't, that is fucking anarchy. Forget about what the NSA did. If your government complies and you refuse to comply with legal requirements, you're saying stuff the judiciary. And when you say stuff the judiciary...
Is being an anarchist?
Tim is being an anarchist there, yeah.
Part of that legal process.
That's all I wanted to get to.
Apple has the right, whether they should and whether they will...
You're still not listening because I've said they've got the right to appeal and amend in what I've just said. The point is that if you start sticking your fingers up at your judiciary, they are your defense against your government. They are the check and balance of government. Yes. And if the judiciary is shown to be ineffective, because, let me finish for
Apple's
fuck's sake.
Apple's an American company and this is America and our history is doing this. Our history is putting our finger up to the government and saying no, right?
No.
Yes.
No, your judiciary is your check and balance against government. And if you stick your fingers up to your judiciary becomes ineffective, and then your government does what the fuck it likes. And that's the problem. That's what you're all not seeing.
And then the people do what the fuck they like.
This government has followed, this FBI agency has followed the law. It has respected the judiciary. If you don't go along with that, that is a road to a path, to a world that you do not want to live in.
But part of our judiciary, Ewan, is being able to appeal to a higher court. So if you have a lower court that says something that you don't think is right, that's still working within the judicial system. I don't see Apple doing this as breaking through the judicial system. If it gets all the way to the Supreme Court,
let's go to Mueller because actually he knows what he's talking about a little bit.
If they have appealed to the highest order, they can't
appeal. For Christ's sake, guys, if you're going to argue, at least follow the fucking points.
You're implying that Apple is going against the judicial system of the U.S. and they're not.
Because it has an intent not to do it. It's clear it has an intent not to do it. Go on, Mueller, say what you want to say
about. Yeah, but what I'm worried about is that what we're forgetting about, there's a lot of victims here. 14 people died and potentially more people could die if we don't get this information or this information isn't clarified. Surely we should be cooperating and Apple should be cooperating with the FBI and with the security services to catch these people to prevent more deaths. I'm sorry, but Apple are being jerks, and there's no way around it. I mean, they can control the phone, they can control the way it's done, and they could destroy the information afterwards. I don't see why he's moaning and why he's getting on a line.
Because he's grinding a different axe. That's the problem. He's using this to grind a different axe.
Yeah. Yeah. They started the axe, though, and that's the part that no one wants to say. Everyone wants to put it on Tim, but you never answer a question until asked, right? He didn't come out and say, let's do X. So they started this axe months ago. They publicly publicized this since the phone came out. We've been hearing about this for more than 2 years since the Snowden leaks. So they're pushing the axe too. And it's unfair to say that his response, you know, it's like when I got suspended because somebody called me some shit they weren't supposed to call me. And then I took their lights out. I get suspended. They get nothing because you're just supposed to, you know, not say anything back. It's kind of the same thing. And it's kind of weird. And I have something really evil to say, and no one would say this, and it does sound harsh, but it's the reality of life. And this is maybe the hardest thing I will ever say on TV, but I come from a position of ex-soldiering, so there is such a thing as collateral damage, and we all have to deal with it. It's something that we deal with a lot as a soldier. And there's 324,127,000 of us. As sad as this sounds, those 14 lives are tragic, yes. But you do not go and make a knee-jerk reaction over that 14 and blame it on trying to protect the other 324 million of us. That's not a cool thing to do. And they do it. They do it all the time. And so I was answering what Mueller stated. Mueller stated that more people might. This whole thing about might and if causes so many unnecessary and enforceable laws to happen. There's so many unenforceable laws in the U.S. right now on the idea of X might happen. And truth has been told, long before there were phones, we had terrorists. And long after we move on from phones to something else, we'll have terrorists. So the phone is not going to solve terrorism. So don't use this as a crutch to politicize.
Yeah, but the trouble is you don't know what the information that the FBI have got. And they don't give away their information. They've got a path. But you don't know what they know, and you don't know what they're after. I'm sorry.
I know. I'm saying, but it doesn't matter.
I've been involved in investigations where stuff has gone down one lane, and you just don't know, and the public don't know. I mean, I see things on TV now, and I know things are going on in the background that I don't know now. To be honest with you, the FBI may have a lead that you don't know about, and that's what they're chasing. And Apple may be blocking this, and they may be causing problems down the line. You don't know.
No one knows. Absolutely no one knows. Can we all agree? None of us have
either side, right?
None of us have a clue what the FBI want out of that phone.
Exactly. The FBI. The FBI are the only ones that got all the information, and they're not going to. They're going to keep their cards very close to the chest.
Do they have a right to access that information? The answer is yes, because the company that owns it has told them that they wanted to access it.
They've got a moral right,
and they've got a legal document which is correctly issued.
But that's the question now becomes: are corporations responsible for helping them? And I know you're going to come back to they have a warrant, but that's the longer term, bigger issue.
Yeah, but aren't these corporations member of the public? End of the day, aren't they the member of society, and they should be helping society?
No, they're private corporations.
It doesn't matter.
They're still part of society.
And that part of that society that they're supposed to be helping are their customers. Potentially, their customers could be in the next bomb or shooting or whatever. I'm sorry, but Apple should do what they can to help the FBI prevent further death and mayhem. And I know I'm biased, but I think I'm right, and I think a lot of people would think I'm right. And Apple then should control the phone and destroy it afterwards, whatever they want to do.
The thing is, I mean,
too slippery a slope for me.
But how does a warrant or a court order make a legal precedent? You need a law. So, i.e., you need politicians and lawyers to sit down and make laws, and then them laws get tested in court. A single warrant doesn't mean anything.
It will make it easier for other warrants,
it's an action, similar cases, you can't deny that. No, a court has said this is what it wants based on law that's in current enforcement now. And the warrant is basically the court telling Apple and giving Apple protection, saying this is what I want you to do. And if anything comes back later, you can say, well, the court told us to do it.
The thing is, you're going on about a slippery slope there, Adam. Is the slipperier of the two slopes opening this phone and perhaps then getting a request to open further phones, but that would be individual phones. It wouldn't be everyone's phone. Or is it a corporation telling its government it will not comply with the law and the government having to back down due to public opinion? That's frightening. That scares the shit out of me, because a corporation cannot tell its government to get stuffed and go against the law when the government has followed the requirements of law, which is what has happened here. Let's not deflect and start talking about the NSA and any of that bollocks. This is a phone which has got a legally binding order to assist in the opening of it. And Tim Cook has written an email that effectively is saying, we aren't going to do this if we can possibly manage not to.
You mean, is there something else here that's not being said? And I don't want to roll this off in a different direction. But for me, and it's the point I made in the Slack room last night, so legal process has been followed, and the court has decided that Apple should help the FBI get this information. As far as I'm concerned, that was very straightforward. The controls are in place. Apple will appeal. I doubt they'll win. Full stop. That's it. My point last night was, we have to trust the UK government. The guys in the US, I trust, would need to trust the US government. You know, you're right on your point. If we don't trust them, absolute anarchy. My concern is that there is countries out there where I probably wouldn't trust that the judicial system works and is not in the pocket of their governments. And I'm not going to name the countries. We can all guess a couple. But is there a precedent that in those countries...
Right, hang on. US precedent does not apply in Russia.
Right.
No, but they will use it, though.
No, they won't. They can't use it because US legal precedent cannot apply in Russia.
I would say it probably doesn't matter
because they will just try it anyway, whether there's a precedent or not.
How could a law made in the US of A have any effect in any other country? Or even UK law?
No, it's not the law, it's the act. People would use the act in the court of
public opinion. But an act can't set precedent. They can ask all they like. The Russian government can compel Apple. You could get the FBS, what's it, to FSB, could still, right this minute, regardless of anything that happens here, they could go to Apple and say, we've got a phone, you're opening it. Otherwise, tell you what, you're selling no phones in Russia. Yep. And there's nothing Apple can do, because they either comply with it, or they sell no phones in Russia, because they have to comply with the law of the company or the country in which they wish to trade, or they have to cease trading in that company, that country.
And so the minute they do it for us, these other countries will put that exact pressure on them. And again, I hate to be speculative. I hate to be speculative. But again, if we do it, everyone else will ask, and everybody else will threaten with the ability not to sell. And then it's going to be it could possibly be the end of iPhones for all of us if we keep this crap up.
Oh, that is just oh, for Christ's sake, Doc. That is like a butterfly causing a tsunami. That is absolute bullshit.
Oh, you don't believe in a butterfly?
I'm pretty sure that other countries already have asked, and I'm reasonably sure that Apple maybe even did it for
Apple have already opened 70 phones on record.
Yeah.
They've already opened 70 phones on behalf of the FBI on record. What is the problem here?
I mean, if the bloke been alive, they might have asked him for his passcode.
Is that before or after Snowden?
They should go dig the bloke up and put his thumb on the sensor.
Oh, iPhone 6, I
see. It wouldn't work.
It wouldn't work because it's not a sensor, is it? No, it's a 5C.
Well, and even if it was a sensor, you have to have live tissue for Touch ID to work.
And also that would be an assault, wouldn't it?
You can't assault a dead man. Shut up, Molly. You sound like a moron now.
Yeah, but if you did,
they could lift a fingerprint and make a fake one that worked, though.
Saranac says, "Can we fix Patrice's echo? What, you want me to decorate his room before the end of the show? Jesus Christ!
No, apparently it's echoing when I'm in the group shot, but not when I'm on the single shot or something weird.
So, speak again now.
I didn't get it. Someone in the chat mentioned. When I'm in this shot right now, I'm echoing, and if you put me on the single view shot, whatever.
No, you really aren't.
It's not.
No, you really aren't. Okay.
I don't get it.
It might be at that end, but there's absolutely nothing I can do about it, so there we go.
Horse is eating himself.
And I'm not decorating his room. I think my real problem with this is you know, I'm going to a different message from what Muller's even said there, although I think he's right, is I just, you know, both of these things, one way or the other, have got serious ramifications just in this one case. Let's just stay in this case. Let's not go off down the tangent of precedent in Russia that can't be set.
Right.
Let's just say in this case, you've got a corporation which potentially, I mean... You know, you can defend all you like, but Tim's open letter was a bit of a two fingers up to the FBI in the court order yesterday. And I was like, that's not good. Because that's a corporation saying we're not doing what the court order tells us to do. That's what the essence was. And okay, yeah, there's the bullshit of I'll lift up my skirts a little bit if you don't promise not to look. But in the essence of it, Tim is... And I think, oh, God, with Mueller on this one, unfortunately. God, blimey, I can't believe I'm saying that. But, that letter, there's no way that is like a knee-jerk response. That is a carefully crafted document for a legal purpose.
Now, Ewan, let me ask you a question. So throwing out, you know, the passion around what Tim said, okay, getting back to, so Apple, in the judicial process, can appeal. We've all agreed on that. So if they appeal this to a higher court and the higher court looks at this order and says, no, you know, we don't think that higher order should have stood, does that change your opinion if it gets thrown out?
Absolutely. Totally. Because the process has been followed. The law has been followed.
Okay. I have said right from the start. For that process to happen before we really form an opinion about
this? Tim should have waited for that process to happen before he wrote a frigging open letter that was toned like that. And you know I'm right there.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree.
If he actually bothered about legal process, he wouldn't have written that letter. He would have waited for that higher court to pass judgment.
No, and again, I think it's obvious through the language and the term in that this is more to address the other cases that are not related to this one. Yep. But I think both sides are doing it. I think both sides are using this as a political
but the difference is,
point to put pressures in different ways.
But the difference is that... The government is using the law to press its point perfectly correctly through the FBI, and Tim is coming to the ACLU and asking them to scaremonger effectively. I know he didn't, but you know what I'm saying? It's just like that letter throws so much fuel on the fire that's just the wrong frigging fire. That's the trouble.
I understand what your opinion is. I don't feel as passionate about it as you do, but
I just think the law is something that has to be respected, and I think you've got to be careful if you're going to say that you don't respect it, and that's what I saw yesterday. There's a point here from Horse in the chat room, and he says, surely one of the key points that we need to know is that the regardless of whether it's the correct country's legal requirements or not, is how safe do we believe the reverse engineering will be, both physically and legally? So I'll go to Darren Furball from yesterday, and there was a really good post put up there. Dan Guido has a good piece on the technical aspects of what the FBI wants to do, and it was an explanation in plain English of how they would get into it. And his belief was that this is nothing different than the way that most people would have jailbroken this phone when they got it in the first place if they wanted to bypass the OS. And before any firmware is loaded to the iPhone, the device first checks whether the firmware has been a valid signature from Apple, and that is what's required here. So this signature checks why the FBI cannot load the new software onto a phone on their own. They would have to go through Apple. The FBI does not have the secret keys that Apple used to sign this firmware. And at this point, it's important to mention that the recovered iPhone 5C lacks Touch ID, and therefore it is only crackable through the thing. There's also a suggestion in that article that this would probably happen with the on the campus, and at no point would this phone ever leave the campus with this reversed OS on it. Apple would still have total control of their software. This would not get out into the wild under any stretch of the imagination by the
That's
FBI
an important point.
Or by... so, I mean, I read, and I, who was it that talked... I mean, Chris talked about it at the start, and I think it was reinforced a little bit by Patrice, that, you know, this is a very well-worded warrant. They're giving Apple an awful lot of control here, and they're making sure that they're correctly reimbursed for it. They're not doing this free of charge, and that they are, you know, they are... The warrant looks sensitive to that backdoor issue. Like, yes. They're not trying to do this backdoor thing. They're saying, look, you can have this. You can take it off afterwards. We just want the information.
And I think I find earlier on...
You're saying you should make sure that this quote-unquote backdoor only runs on this single device.
Yeah, let's stop using backdoor, because it's not a backdoor. It's a change in the firmware that allows just the... Because a backdoor would suggest that it would open it, and it won't. Right. They've still got to do the brute force attack. Sorry, Camps, you were saying something there. Go on.
Yeah, I think your point earlier were absolutely right, in that Apple are using this challenge to fight a slightly different battle.
I think another thing you've got to remember is breaking into phones and forensic. We used to do forensics on phones quite regularly. It's expensive. The police aren't just going to take a phone off somebody doing a shoplifting job and start looking through the phone, because it costs a lot of money to do a forensic investigation on any sort of computer or phone or anything like that. So this is only going to be used in exceptional circumstances due to... well, in Britain anyway, due to money. There's no way it's going to be used in casual cases.
Yeah, I'm sure Apple's charges are going to be...
It's going to be horrendous.
Sufficient.
There's no Apple care for this.
No.
So it's just not going to be... For, every single phone that comes into police or FBI possession, because they wouldn't have the budget for it. I mean, the budget would be horrendous. I think you'd be talking thousands of pounds per phone.
Yeah, no, I don't think it would be a lot. They'd have to make sure it was worthwhile. Horse said, he said, that's all very well, Ewan, if that's correct, then fine. But when's the next time they're going to do this on an iPhone 6? They can't. That's exactly the point. This does not work on an iPhone 6. They would have no capability.
Apple hasn't come out publicly and said it would work on an iPhone 6.
It would.
XS, anything, yes. Apple said that. It's direct from Apple.
I thought...
It was in the Guido one as well.
Yeah, no, but I thought the 6, because the 6 ran Enclave, didn't it?
Yeah. They said the basic technique would work. They'd have to adapt the process a little bit, but it would. Yeah. They could do the similar. They could process a similar request on a newer iPhone.
Because they are not really unlocking the secure enclave. They're just unlocking the system.
No, actually, from a technical standpoint, what I read was that originally it was thought that. Now, this could change in future iPhones, and probably will because of this case. Just to be clear, we don't know yet. But there was an assumption by the security community that the process for delaying, so what would prevent this on other phones is that successive delay that I mentioned. And that was part of the it is part of the secure enclave, the point where you put in a wrong password, you get like four attempts, and then after that, there's a 10-second delay, and then that delay gets longer and longer up to an hour. Okay, that's all built into the software on the secure enclave. Many people thought it was part of the hardware itself. It's sounding like it actually is software or firmware that Apple can update without messing the integrity of the secure enclave. Okay. So they'd have to do it a little bit differently, but Apple still says that they could do it with current phones. Now, again, now that this case has happened, it would not surprise me if Apple built that into the chip in future phones so that it, so that they can't comply.
That's a different discussion to have. And I've
it is a different discussion, but I just want to point out the technicalities.
Maybe we'll have that next week, eh?
Well, so what it leads into is the other point that I was making earlier is I really think for Apple, part of this, in this specific case, just sticking with this specific case, is, and again, I'm speculating here, but based on the facts, it seems like this could be what they're thinking, is they're concerned about other requests for other phones for this specific kind of firmware update in other cases. And that may be why they want to appeal it, appeal to a higher level court and take this further.
See, I don't have a problem with a government following legal process to request access to a device.
Yep.
And only that device, not a widespread access to devices. Because that's what that's what the NSA...
And they're not asking for that.
That's what they should do.
What the NSA have done wrong is that they accessed all our information without even telling anyone and without getting any legal approval from either government or from the judiciary. And that's horrific. That's, that is anarchy. But this isn't. This is, I follow the legal process. There is a warrant. There is a court order. I am now required to do it. I will do it because the court order tells me. And everybody's happy because the checks and balances have worked.
Yeah, I don't have a problem. Again, I think the concern is it's the next case when it comes up again and the order comes through and it doesn't have the provision that says, oh, and you can do it on your facility. Now we want you to do it at FBI headquarters. And it just gets broader and broader.
Yeah.
Again, that's a future thing and not related to this case, to be clear. But my speculation is that's what Apple is concerned about most this specific request.
Goes back, Adam, there to the judiciary system, making and sure legislation. That any case is fair.
I would agree with that, too. So if you're putting your trust in the judiciary, like Ewan is saying, then this shouldn't be an issue for you.
But the judiciary doesn't make law. Well, it does. It does make case
they
law.
They interpret law.
They interpret law. What they need to do is, first of all, somebody needs to make a law, and then it will go to the court and be tested, and then eventually case law will be made.
But we're not talking, we're talking about the precedent for issuing orders to a corporation to do stuff for law enforcement agencies.
The trouble is that the law as it stands doesn't isn't up with technology, is it? So it does need a law now to deal with what with new technology.
They do have a law. The law they're using is a 200-year-old law in the U.S. called. Oh man, I'm going
to
get.
No. Hang on a second. Let's just go to a you know, let's go off to left field and let's talk about a not really close, you know, not effectively, but you know, as close as I can come up with in my head for a parallel case. Let's say you, I know Apple doesn't own the phone and all that kind of stuff, but let's say you owned a bank, and there's a safety deposit box in your bank, and you get a court order that says you will let the FBI into this safety deposit box, and you go, well, I can't because I've only got one key. So, you know, you need to ask the person who's who you're prosecuting to bring the other key under kind of some pseudo right of silence or the fact that they go, oh, I lost it. They say, well, you know, you're not going to get the key off me. The bank can't stop the FBI from drilling the other lock out to gain access. And that's the difference. If the court order is correctly formatted and says, right, the FBI will turn up on Monday, you will open your key on the side of the safe deposit box, and the FBI will drill the lock on the other side. If the bank says, look, I'll open the lock because that's fine, I can do that, but you ain't drilling me lock because, Jesus Christ, that costs a fortune. That's where they don't have a right to do that. And you shouldn't have a right as an individual to put something in a safe deposit box and permanently withhold it from your government when there's a court order to access it. And that's the real problem here, because if you look at the bigger argument, if the court has, or if the FBI has to go through the full judicial process to access one phone, as Mueller says, that's a really expensive process. But yeah. One court order for one phone, absolutely right. And I don't have a problem with that. And they can do that as many times as they like, because that is a thing with judicial oversight, which costs them a lot of money, and they don't do it lightly. I've got a real problem if they start accessing multiple phones or swathes and bands of phones in corporations and that type of stuff. But you equally shouldn't have a right to permanently withhold information in a criminal investigation. And that's where I have a real problem with this idea of, if you make a phone so secure that not even us as the manufacturer can get into it, you're now saying if you stick it in this safe deposit box, the FBI will never get to it. Well, that makes real sense for an awful lot of people. Who want to hold something, and it's only criminals that would be thinking that way.
100% secure. There's always some way to get to it.
It's just I don't know if,
how expensive is it.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with that, Ewan. I like the idea of all of my data being safe from anybody but me.
So let's say that your data wants to be accessed because you decide to take a machete to your next door neighbor.
I'm not talking about that. I'm not a criminal. You mentioned you don't think anybody but criminals wants that kind of security on their device.
No. But the point would be that you're not a criminal, therefore the FBI would never come and test it. But they should still have the right to test it under court order if you do something that gives them reasonable suspicion.
What about a reverse of that scenario, Ewan, where Adam's next-door neighbour comes round and takes a machete to him, and the FBI, in a scenario like that, want to look and see if Adam's got any enemies, and therefore there may be evidence on a phone? Is that reversed?
Well, I think they should start with his neighbour, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, the neighbour taking a machete to Adam will not get FBI for
a long
shot, because
I don't like
Adam's
this whole scenario,
because
I'd
have
me dead.
But to be
the guy'd have to be a serial killer or something.
It would be a local police case, absolutely.
And to be honest with you, they've got their offender already, so why would they want to look at the phone anyway?
Ken K in the chat has a good point. He says, as an individual, I do have the right now to secure under my control my own information. I can encrypt my computer and not be compelled to give up the password.
Bad luck, Ken. No, you can't. So, right, okay, let's answer Ken's point there, because this is entirely different. You've got a computer, you run encryption software to make sure that you're the only person can access it under a passcode. If the government issues a legal warrant that says you will open that for us so that we can see it, and you refuse, you will go to prison until you unlock it. Mm. And if you don't unlock it, you will rot in prison without trial, mate, because you're in contempt of court. You cannot do that. You have no right to withhold information from your government when they have followed legal process and there is a court order against you. Ken, you can chain yourself to the friggin' railings all you like, dude. I'm sorry, mate, but you're going down and you're absolutely categorically wrong.
Wait a minute. What are we talking about here?
Because you're technically wrong about that.
Yeah, that sounds
the
wrong.
Exact technicality.
Say that again. I want to fully understand what you're saying.
Right. If you get a legally issued court order from the government that says you will give us the passcode to your computer,
am I charged with a crime?
You don't have to be.
They have
to have reasonable suspicion, and they wouldn't get the warrant without reasonable suspicion.
I suspect I'm going to hear the word amendment shortly.
No, because if you're going to quote the Fifth Amendment to me, the Fifth Amendment is about speech. It's not about information on your computer.
No, it's about information that's in your head, and my passcode is in my head, and they can't compel me to give up information that could potentially incriminate me in a criminal investigation.
That is a reach, and I'm sorry, I don't think
that would
hold out.
It's not a reach. That's fact. Talk to a lawyer.
No.
And then, okay, can I say something that this is kind of funny and then kind of dick in the same token, so I'm going to just say something. I come from a slightly different position because I am used to the officials in my environment overstepping their boundaries on many, many occasions, then trying to find reason to make it fit what it is that they did so that they could not get in trouble. And maybe you guys haven't been in that position. So everyone's like, oh, trust the law, trust the government, trust the cops. For the most part, I do. I don't hold it against the rest of the cops for what the few assholes did to me. But you guys don't spend enough time with NYPD or even better, not even in Hawaii, HPD for that matter, on the wrong side of the badge for you to be like told that they're doing stuff based off of some suspicion because they have probable cause. I have been illegally searched, I can't tell you how many times, because I have been born in the 60s, black American. So let's just get something straight. And I wish Chris was here to back me up on this, because even good guys like Chris and I get illegally searched. And we can't fight it. And so now I'm seeing stuff like this, and it kind of leads me to, you want me to trust the people that are doing this for a good reason, and they're not making up some shit so they can have reason to get in later? No, bro. I get where Mo's coming from, because I understand everything he says, and I love his service. I respect him for what he did. The thing that pisses me off now when I get this kind of crap is like, yo, I've been to war to fight for my country so you can have the right to illegally F over my rights. So get your hands off. Like, I have literally said that to cops not even more than a month ago.
But hang on, dude. I mean, you're wasting your time talking to that cop. You need to go to the overarching body which deals with regulatory control of that police force. So
I understand that, but I'm saying, I want you for one second to try to understand the sentiments of people on the opposite side. Our government, if Snowden hadn't happened, and our government hasn't recently proven that they love to overstep, if Ferguson hadn't happened, if New York hadn't happened with Marcus Brown, if the Zimmerman case hadn't happened, if all of these, you know, cops shooting young unarmed men hadn't happened, and Snowden hadn't happened, and Hillary's emails hadn't happened, this might not be a conversation. But in recent 2-3 years time in the U.S., our government has done so many effed up things to our own people that you can see why so many people are tense about this.
I'm not disagreeing with that in the slightest, and I said that right at the start, but that is not this case for a start. And also, if you're talking about wrongs that are done by your enforcement authorities or by your judiciary or by your government, if you live in a properly democratic society, which is an advanced country, there are checks and balances and there are places that you can go. I've done work for a local firm here, and they had a problem with someone stealing stuff off their premises, and they didn't want to approach the local police force because they had no idea what the extent was of the embezzlement of the monies from their facility. So they went to a different police force, and the police force put them in contact with an independent authority, which is police, and that then became the investigating authority for the crime to make sure that that wasn't the case. There are checks and balances throughout the whole of your system, and there are a few that always make the press, don't get me wrong, and I'm sure there are some horrific things that some governments have done in the past, yours and mine, but there are checks and balances there, and if they're used more often than not, the government holds its hands up. I was listening to a thing this week about some wrongs that were done in Kenya, and there was a whole pile of documents, and the government wanted to withhold them. They put a 100-year fee on them where you couldn't get access to them. And this guy said, well, hang on, I think these exist. And they went, no, they don't. And they said, yeah, they do exist, and they exist because of this. And he proved through the back door that they'd actually had got these documents. And within a week, the government had given them up because they knew they couldn't hold off anymore. Legal process had been followed. They had an order from a judge that said, you will release these documents. They were released. That was the end of it.
I got another.
Okay, now tell me. Hold on. Muller's got a point. Go on.
Hold on. Matt Caster, I'm afraid there's a couple of cases in the US where a judge has overruled yourself. Basically said in a case in Colorado, he ordered a woman to decrypt her laptop so a prosecutor could.
What year?
I'm just looking. 2012.
Okay.
Commonwealth versus Gelfand.
Federal ruling in 2015 that says Fifth Amendment applies.
Okay. Well, there's another case that goes back Fifth Amendment case in the U.S. Constitution protects witnesses. It says all that. In the case versus Butcher, an influential case, a man's laptop was inspected by customs agents and pornography was discovered. At which point the decryption technology made the evidence unavailable. The judge ordered him to do so. Just trying to read on the fly. And basically had no choice. He basically had to hand it over. And there's several case laws I can find. And there's even stuff going back to 2015. I can't see the case. Case against Harold Albertson. Without going too much, he was basically forced to do so as well.
I think it says since summer of 2050, cases were fought between major tech companies such as Apple over the regulation of encryption, with government agencies asking for access to private encrypted information for law enforcement purposes. But actually, in the individual's case, there doesn't appear to be anything listed that says that that's not applicable. The Regulatory Investigatory Powers Act, RIPA, in the UK is basically saying stiff shit.
In the US, you would at least have a good chance of applying Fifth Amendment in your case. It's pretty clear still. Obviously there's rulings both ways. The most of the recent ones that I've seen that I'm aware of all have protected Fifth Amendment right for passcodes on smartphones. Yeah, we're talking about a very specific thing.
I remember doing a thing about, and I've got this is off the top of my head and I can't remember the aspects of it, but it was a gateway ruling. And it was saying you can't protect a gateway. So you can protect the information if you believe it incriminates yourself, but you can't protect the gateway to the information. So we're not lawyers, so we'll
right. Yeah.
I think Adam may have a point.
Make the point I made in the Slack yesterday that I mean, there's a law and then there's interpretation of the law through the judge, and those can be different and can be, I would even say, wrong.
No one disagreed with that, Patrice. The problem was this is an issued order by a judge that's not open to interpretation. It's open to appeal, but it's not open to interpretation. It's a requirement.
The judge interpreted the law. I'm not talking about Apple interpreting what the judge said. I'm talking about what the judge thought the law said.
That, which is irrelevant, mate, because you're talking about something completely different. The judge has interpreted the law already and issued the warrant. At the point the warrant is issued, it's not an interpretation of law, dude. The judge has done that.
Yeah, but you still have the possibility to appeal it and say, okay, his interpretation was
that's
wrong.
Still not interpretation.
That was the whole point.
Once you've got an order, you've got an order. You've got a right of appeal, but you've got an order.
Just say you have the right to appeal and say the ruling was wrong, Priest, and you'll be okay.
But they're still being content to
Chris Campion, you had a word to say. Go on.
Yeah, is there a scenario here that regardless of what it says in the amendments, it's irrelevant in this particular case because the phone's not owned by the individual, it's owned by the company.
It is completely irrelevant. Thank you, mate. Well spotted.
Right. No, I get the point. I was just trying to counteract the original statement that I could be compelled or forced to give up my passcode if I was accused of a crime, and I don't believe that I would, at least in the U.S.
I think that would be a hell of a debate, mate, and I'd watch in for pay-per-view on that on Judge Judy, most definitely.
Cool.
Part two.
But
luckily, I'll never commit a crime. So,
but I think you're going to have to squirm pretty frigging hard to get out of that. And certainly in the UK, you can't. That is it. You will go, right, okay, you want to give me the code? No, fine, go to prison. And they will just leave you in there. And that's the thing with contempt of court. If they prove contempt of court and they're adequately suggesting that contempt of court applies and they chuck you in prison, there's no trial, there's no end date, there's no sentence, there's no parole. You go to sit in a jail and you rot there until you do the thing that the order told you to do. And that's what you've got to be careful. And if Apple, I got an impression yesterday from Tim's letter that he's going, no, we're not doing this. We're going to go as far as we possibly can to say, stuff you, we're not doing this. And if he's not careful, and if it gets to the nth degree where Apple goes to a high court and the high court says, yes, you will do this, Apple, exactly in the terms of the warrant that's been issued. If Apple then refuses, I think they'll use that letter. They'll do it. I think they'll absolutely do it, no question. But if they didn't, let's just say, I think they'll use that letter and Tim will be sat on a bench and humming Black Spirituals before you know
it. That would happen. But I mean, the point is, they'll take it all the way to the Supreme Court. Unless, if the Supreme Court says you need to unlock the, you need to do this or follow this order, then they will. I mean, that'll be the end of it.
They have no choice, then.
It's going to go that far and it's going to take years.
Yeah, so. And it's in Apple's favor because Scalia's dead.
Yeah. Well, you know, Adam, you said you don't have to worry because you're not a criminal. And I want to say, dude, there's many of people in United States jails, more than any other country in the planet, that are in jail for no criminal activity whatsoever. So you need to know that doesn't really matter. And everyone says, oh, no, that's not possible. Hey, look at Stephen Avery. Proof positive. I mean, we just recently had a documentary about how jacked up the police can be once they got their mind made up and no one's going to tell them any different. And they kept the FBI out of it in the whole nine yards. I mean, it can happen. So the thing, I still feel the slopes are so slippery and I just want to see it get played out all the way to the Supreme Court. I would love Tim to go to jail at least for one day before he gives in, just to show that he meant what he said you know, as far as he could push it. And this is a touchy situation, no doubt. But I think the biggest thing is we are still taking off our shoes at the airport, even though that was one stupid shoe bomber, right? Now, I travel all around the world. Nobody else makes you basically strip naked except us. We have a tendency to use our fears to increase businesses and do all this other stuff.
Make you take your shoes off in the UK.
Don't make any sense.
Yeah. Oh, no, same mate. In Germany. Mate, I pay to be stripped to that level. Oh, sorry, is that something different?
No, it's something different.
Oh, sorry, man. Jesus. Don't tell the wife, eh, for Christ's sake.
It's super irritating to me that we're still doing so many things. And I was really, really glad when Patriot Act finally expired. But then, you know, they pushed really hard to keep that mess going. Most of it was unproven and unfounded. Most of it was overreaction. Most of it was over government control. And so that's what I'm saying. All of this recent history stuff is what's making it so hard. It's hard to believe that they really just want what they just want, and they're going to leave it at that.
But they do. You'd be
almost naive.
No, dude, but they think they really do.
You guys are the most skeptical MFs that I know. And this, the one chance you should be skeptical, you're like, no, fuck them. Let them have it.
No. See, this is not, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I am very skeptical of the US government. There's no question of that. And I think there is an agenda here that's being griped. And Adam agrees with me on that point. But what I'm saying is they followed the rules. And if you get rid of the rules, that's a bigger problem than you're thinking about the odd phone being decrypted under court order. You get rid of the rules, you are talking serious, serious problems, because your judiciary is the one that stops people
from doing stuff in government that they shouldn't do. And so I'll bring back what Adam said almost an hour ago. Our country is founded on breaking the rules. The reason why we even sit here right now is because we didn't want to pay taxes on tea and kiss the king's ass and all this other shit. So our country is literally founded on breaking rules. So Adam brought that up almost an hour ago.
Since my name came into this, and I did say that in what we're talking about specifically right here, right now, that's not exactly my intent. What I would argue back in this case for Ewan, and I know he somewhat doesn't agree with me, is I don't think it's clear that Apple is not following the rules in this case, because one of the rules is they do not have yet the ability to appeal it, and they're going to appeal it.
Yep.
And I'm saying they're not breaking the rules until they get all the way to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court says unlock it, and then Apple says no. Then I will agree with you, Ewan, but right, I'm not going to agree that point.
And I think I've not disagreed with you, because you said to me, what if this goes to the next court and it gets overturned? Right. I said, I'm fine with
that. Yeah, that's true.
Because the rules have been followed. I am not interested in this phone. I am not interested in the backdoor greater debate. I am interested that my law is respected and followed. And if it's not, then I've got serious issues. That's when all of us are screwed, mate. Forget it. You can argue the tinfoil hat stuff all you like. We're all
and I'll be fully on board with you rules. When it gets to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court says unlock it, and then Apple still says no. But I don't even think that's going to happen. I think the minute the Supreme Court says you will comply with this order, and it's not unlocking it. Sorry if I threw that term out there.
Yeah.
You will comply with this order to disable the security checks so the FBI can crack this thing. If they say no at that point, then all bets are off.
The law gets followed in a way that the intention of a law is upheld. So it's also about what the law intended to do.
No.
What someone else used it for.
No. Once the order's been issued, the intent's irrelevant. The order's been issued.
No. Yes. I'm talking about the law. The law that is used.
It's got fuck all to do with the law after the order's been issued. For Christ's sake, Patrice.
Why?
Once the order has been issued.
The law counts, and now you're telling me it doesn't.
That's not what I've said at all. You're talking out your ass, man. No. If you want to call me out. No, stop, Patrice. I'm going to get offended here, because if you want to argue with me and say that I said stuff, at least get it fucking right. Okay? I said that this is not to do with interpretation of the law, because the law has already been considered when the order was passed. Once the order is passed, that is what the law dictates. It is open to appeal, and if it gets overturned at the next court, then fine, you come down and it's quashed and that's the end of it. If it's upheld, that is a reinforcement of that law that was passed and in that order. The law is not not open to interpretation once the order has been passed and appealed and reinforced. It is sacrosanct. And if you start saying, oh, it's all about interpretation, not everyone's always right all the time, you're talking out your ass, mate. You're absolutely right up the wrong tree, because the law was enforced and the order was passed legally. You cannot start sticking your fingers up to correctly applied legal warrants, or you are in a bad place, Sunshine.
I think. I totally agree with you. All I said is there is before the order
was passed. Go on, Sunshine, backpedal.
There was a law, and the law has an intention, and that has to fit.
And it's got fuck all to do once an order has been passed. Nothing to do with it, mate. Move along.
I knew this show was going to be good.
But let's have a quick drink.
I'm out. Jesus Christ, I'm out. I got none. Oh, my life. So Muller's turned up with a bottle of Penderyn. It's rather nice, I have to say. It's very good. It might be my pick of the week, actually. Welsh whiskey. Batwench will be happy. I thought, Muller's bought the whiskey the last couple of weeks. There's half a bottle left over from last week, and I've got two bottles of Bushmills under there as well. So we're not short for alcohol here tonight. And I've still got the big show to go. Jesus Christ, that's not good.
You're going to get a court order to hand over that whiskey.
Well, they better get it through the judge pretty quickly. That's all I can say. And if they want it after that, yeah, I'll comply, but you'll have to cut your hands. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. We have our huge steaming debates where we call each other names and swear and do all the stuff that we've done tonight. And we couldn't do it without UK2. They are absolutely superb. I've never read an ad and poured whiskey at the same time. Multitasking. My wife would be proud. If you'd like anything to do with the web, if you want co-location services, domains, VPS, VPN, all that kind of stuff, go to UK2 because they support us. They give a whole lot back to our BTN listeners. So britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors and you'll find a whole pile of offer codes and you can wipe 20% off the value of your basket. It's that good. Or if you want to sign in, you're an existing customer because you've already worked for BTN and you're like, yeah, let's go, let's tell UK2 that we really love them. Then just go to, every time you want to get into your UK2 account, britishtechnetwork.com/UK2, and you'll go straight to your sign-in page there. So you can, but they'll know we've sent you back, your returning customer from BTN, so we get the kudos for that as well as. So please support UK2 because we couldn't do this without, and we couldn't store 3 terabytes of video and stuff like that. We couldn't run the Not Quite Live channel or any of that kind of stuff. We couldn't broadcast live. We wouldn't be able to do any of this without all the stuff that they support us with. So check them out. Next month we've got a new sponsor coming along as well, who's awesome. And if you'd like to support the network as well, then please go to patreon.com/BritishTechNetwork. Just give us a buck a month. That'd be great. It would just say thanks very much for all the shows you do, and here's a buck a month. I know it's not a lot, but it's just me going tip of the nod, thanks ever so much, chaps, really appreciate it. If every listener gave us a buck a month, we could do this professionally. We could have the photo show back. We could have piles of other shows doing. And you're sitting going, oh, I'm not going to do that now because I can't cope with more of this shit. And I understand that. That's okay. That's fine. Don't worry about it. Right. Have we got time for the cool thing before the big show starts? Oh, shit, the big show should have started 20 minutes ago. No, I'm joking. Right. Camps. Some stuff, other stuff happened in Apple. If you want to know what it is, go and listen to some other shit podcast, not this one. Camps, what's your cool thing, dude?
I've put mine in a link. So this is something that's not new, some power line adapters. I had CCTV put in my house when I moved in, and I had some D-Link adapters at the time, and I had a few problems with them. They kept dropping out. I'll find out forever going in and having to reboot them just to maintain connection. Wasn't working for me. So I had a bit of a look around, and these were recommended to me. So the only 500 TP-Link 500 megabit per second with an AC pass-through adapters, two Ethernet ports on them. So it's a bit of a starter kit at £37.98 on Amazon in the UK. But I've got to be honest, I'm really impressed with them. I've been running them now for about two and a bit weeks. Not had a single dropout. It's streaming really, really well. Price is very, very good as well. So TP-Link, pretty good brand. I'm impressed with them. So if anybody's out there is looking for some pretty inexpensive power line adapters, plug and play. I found I had to do no linking up, no configuration of any sort, and they're working really well. I'm impressed.
Now, I'm going to get some stick for this, I'm sure. If it, don't get me wrong, it won't be the first time. Do you know, I've always steered clear of these because I always think they're going to be shit.
I've found them pretty reliable so far.
And there's loads of people who've got ones, and they've mentioned in the past. We've had people pick them as well on the shows, and they've always gone, oh yeah, they're brilliant. And I just look at them, I'm like, I think it's because I'm like, this is like magic to me, because I don't understand how it does it.
I'll tell you what, Ewan, I've got a spare set because the place that I ordered from unfortunately had sent me two. So I'm going to send them down to you. Give me your address, give them a go, see what you think.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, better still, bring them down. I'll take you for curry in exchange.
Okay, we'll do that.
Yeah. Bring the daughter down. She can play with Bryony while we go for a curry.
Fine. Deal.
Yeah, it's sported. That's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. Bartering at its finest. Matt Cass, Muller's shitting himself now because he forgotten he needed a pick. Oh, he's got one.
All right. I have one. It's probably going to make the Brits mad, but they claim that they're going to have this over there soon. So I'm going to go ahead and pick it because it came up on Twitter this week. I had a friend who mentioned something that's happened to me in the past where I've left the house. I'm out and about. I'm hungry. I want to get some food. And I realize I left my wallet at home. So I've got no cards. I've got nothing. But I have my iPhone with me, which has Apple Pay. And why Apple doesn't have an easy way for me to figure out where I can use Apple Pay near me is beyond me. But luckily, there is an app called Payfinder. I think it's Payfinder or Payfinders. You got it up right now. And with this app, it will give you a 1 mile, 6 mile, or 12 mile radius around where you are based on your location and show you every place that you can use Apple Pay. And not only that, it's crowdsourced and reviewed. So when you go there, we've all had this situation when using Apple Pay. Sometimes the experience is great. Sometimes it's not so great. So you can chime in and say, okay, I went here, I used Apple Pay, it was perfect. Or no, I went here and they kind of hassled me about it. And you can kind of review the quality of the Apple Pay experience at that location. And you can add additional locations too to help beef up the database. So right now it's in the US. They say they're working on bringing it to the UK, I think in the next version. And it's a free app and it looks really nice and it looks like it's well done. So I have it on my phone now. I plan to use it quite frequently, actually.
We've got a couple of listeners who are with Barclays and they've had a horrific experience this last 24 hours or 2 weeks with Apple Pay because it's just, they say it's coming and then they've tried to get it to work and it's not worked and it's, oh. It's...
Right. So now you can report that through this app and let other people know, hey, yeah, these guys say they have Apple Pay, they don't, it's not working, or they chewed me away from it, or because I've had that experience too, where people just tell me it doesn't work, and then I try it and it works. So, you know, now the ability to actually rate and review the experience as well as figure out where you can use it, I think this is a great app. It's something Apple should actually have built themselves, but these guys are doing it, and I hope it really takes off. So I want to promote it a little bit because I just found out about it.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, the other day. Excellent. So hopefully it gets rolled out in the UK soon.
Okay. I've got to read you this out because I forgot to do it at the top of the show, but it's absolutely brilliant. We've had an email through from a guy named Billy Walker in County Down in Northern Ireland. And it was when you said iPhone there. I remembered that I hadn't done it. And he said, hi, British Tech crew. Just thought you'd like this story about a friend of mine. We were walking through Belfast a couple of weeks ago and his phone rang. So he pulled it out from his pocket and he went, hello, love. Just then a thug snatched it from him and ran off down the street. As the thug ran off down the street, he looked at it, saw that it was a Samsung Galaxy, and dropped it and ran off. That's awesome. Thank you, Billy. Appreciate that, mate. There you go. I forgot I'd done that. Cool pick, mate. Cool pick. DOC.
I'm still not okay, so I have these guys' first product, and I'm looking really, really interested at the second product because it complements the first. But this company is called Orange Monkey, and they originally came out with the Folio portable photography studio. What it basically is the old plastic milk cartons or corrugated style plastic, the perfect color white with some LED lights and different color backgrounds. You put your products in, you can take really epic pictures. Most of what you see on my Instagram of the things that I lays and whatnot all come out of the little Folio box. This is a turntable that these guys are making that's iPhone controlled or iPad controlled, rather. And you can put your product on top of the turntable. The turntable is matted and it will rotate and allow you to take the pictures so you can get a perfectly designed 3D photo. So, you know, someone comes to your site, they click on the picture, they can drag back and forth. The item follows the mouse kind of thing. What makes this epic to me, one of the things I think is cool, is it has a halo light in the back. And if you ever watch the people who know what they're doing versus the people who don't, aka look at an Apple products on their site versus the guys that try to do it on Amazon, because Amazon says you have to put it on a white background and you see all kind of weird ghosting and hazing. This halo light will take care of that and will give you that really perfect separation you need from the background, but not make your item look pasted. And I know that's hard to explain, but Ewan knows what I'm talking about. And so this device does that, and it's in Kickstarter mode right now. It's not too expensive. It's about $80, $90 for the turntable, and the software is free. And if you need to get it with the plastic Foldio 2 box, then you pay like $150, I believe.
Yeah, $149 gets you the Foldio 360, the Foldio 15-inch portable studio, the app, and an online, a 360 online platform, which is probably worth valueless, but yeah, and it's due for delivery on July 2016.
Yeah, the first box came in on time, if that helps. And the Foldio is epic. I have two of them now, and it's the greatest thing ever.
So
I love it.
What's interesting is the fact that this thing has, it generates a 3D image that you can then, or a 360 image, that you can then spin at your own rate using your iPhone. So you can actually manipulate the image yourself on your iPhone. Does that then generate something that is universal, or have you got to have the Foldio software before it?
No, you know, what happened with these 360 images is they've been part of QuickTime for, God, I'm going to say somewhere towards the early 90s. So, yeah, it's the same thing. You're using a standard QuickTime
VR file. Well, you might love this, mate. You're going to enjoy this. So when I got my up here I have a Macintosh SE that's a prototype. It's got no serial number on it because it was one of only five made for the original rollout of software. I don't have no clue how valuable it is or not. But when I went down to pick this up from the guy, he said, I've got loads of stuff from Apple if you want it. I said, what do you want? He said, I've got this if you want. And he's got a 360 parabolic mirror. The thing's about 2.5 feet across, and it's a perfect domed mirror, and it's got a Nikon camera mount underneath with a lens in it, and you put your camera on it, and it's got another mirror at the top that goes down onto this parabolic mirror, and it takes an instant 360 degree image, and then you put it into QuickTime and it turns it into a strip image.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Super nice.
The problem I've got is it runs on System 5. And the only software I've got for decrypting it is on a PowerBook 100 that's broken. So,
no,
he gave me the PowerBook 100 free.
back in System 6 or System 7, when QuickTime VR first became a thing, I had bought one of those parabolic mirror things, and Manfrotto had a 12-degree click tripod head. So I went around to real estate, and I was the go-to guy for making QuickTime VRs for real estate, because you had to like hand stitch those bitches back in the day.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
I said to him when he gave it to me, I said, that's awesome. How much do you want for it? He went, 20 quid.
Nice.
I'll bring it to the bash. If you come into the bash, I'll bring my big parabolic mirror with me. And if you've got a Nikon camera, bring it, because I haven't got a Nikon camera because I'm a Canon guy, so you can clip onto it and we'll take a picture. And if you know anything about PowerBook 100s, then come along with anything you've got to repair the screen. And if we get that working, we're going to get a massive picture. It's going to be awesome. There we go. That is the project for the day. All the kids will be playing off in one side. They'll be doing Hungry Hippo and all that shit. And we'll be sat there and fixing this thing. And we're going to generate the picture of the bash. There you go.
You and I, on this 360 image thing, I'm looking at the code. It looks like it's just a standard HTML5 canvas tag with the image. So you should be able to throw these up on any website, I think, and have them work. I don't even know if they generate the code for you or not, but if they do, it'd be easy enough.
If I can swap the fitting underneath to a Canon fitting, I'm laughing. I got no end of shit lenses kicking around I could use. And I'll sell you my Nikon lens that's then free as well. Cool. Good pick, mate. That's almost like an Amazon link for me. I've hovered over it three times. I haven't clicked it yet, but I haven't closed it yet either. You bastard.
Take another shot.
Patrice.
Yeah, my app is, or my pick is a little app. It's called Clean My Drive 2 from MacPaw. If you know Clean Love My it. Mac, it's basically a smaller version for, or well, something like a smaller total version endorsement. For external drives. It sits in your menu bar, and when you unplug an external drive, or if you eject it, it will remove things like the spotlight caches. It will clean the trash, stuff like that. So it's really just a nifty little tool that helps you keep your external cards, this whatever, clean. And it's free, so get it.
Yeah, no, can't reinforce. MacPaw software we love. I've got Clean My Mac 3, just awesome, just fantastic computer software. And it's good as well with like the age of drives and stuff, and Clean My Drive is awesome. Absolutely, if you use peripheral devices for drives like I do, the Thunderbolt drives, they're absolutely essential. Good pick, mate, like that one. I'm trying to suck up to you now, that's all. Because I upset you. Right, Muller, you have got a live unboxing, have you not?
I have.
Oh, oh God, what's coming? if he stands up, I can't plug enough.
It's an Apple Interactive.
The iPlug.
Right, the good thing, it's not Jeff Gamet.
You got the lube.
He went buying, and then this is because of you, Adam. He went and got the SteelSeries.
Oh, yeah. Nimbus. It's awesome. You'll love it.
Yeah, open it. Go for it.
Okay. Open it.
Inspired. He's got no nails. He can't get it off. Right, we'll do that next week.
Get that, and then, you know, play like Geometry Wars on Apple TV or something.
Well, he's bought it because of the Real Racing thing, but I think he's made a bit of an error, because I think Real Racing interfaces and steers with your phone on your Apple TV, not the Nimbus thing, so.
I think you can. Yeah, you have a go.
Oh, you can, if it's anything like Asphalt 8, you can control it.
It does work with the
SteelSeries.
I played with it.
But you don't get to do I don't think you get to do like a steering wheel kind of thing. You have to use the, you know, the sticks.
Yeah, you got to use the sticks, and I got to say, I like the steering wheel.
I like the steering wheel thing too.
Does anybody
make a steering wheel for Apple TV yet?
Deep Pan's called it. He said, "Is that a childproof box?"
I think they have the little circle like tapes on the
now
flap.
Now you see why we don't want to give law enforcement access to open.
Okay,
hammer. No. When he was at Westminster Place, you'd give him free access to every phone. He'd never get in it.
I wouldn't trust him.
Order or not. This is one of those things where you pull it to pieces and you shred the box, and then you realise, if I'd have done that.
I got it from Birmingham Apple Shop. I can take it back.
Yeah. I was going to grab
it. Not now, you can't, mate. There we go. Hey, unboxing of the Nimbus. There we go.
It's sexy.
Oh. I hope it was worth it.
Feel the weight on the thing.
I feel good now.
Feel the weight. Matt Cast is saying, feel the weight. Feel the girth.
Feel the weight. Whoa. Yeah.
What you could do is put a little clip
to
your phone, so you could do
better. Well, what's the point? Why would you buy that then? Just hold your phone, you moron.
No. You can game with your phone.
You can game with your phone.
On top, yeah. I think they do make a little case or stand or something that you clip on the top.
It wasn't too bad. It was only £40, about 5 pence. I had to pay 5 pence in my bag. 5 pence for an Apple bag.
Yeah, but it's a good quality bag, mate. It's worth every penny.
Yeah.
My cool thing is for Doc. I thought of you when I got this, mate. And it's Score. You're going to love this, mate. Score is an application where you go back through classic goals in football.
What?
So here we go. Here's it's on a green pitch, so it's... I haven't thought of that at all. So I'll talk you through it. So basically, oh, what a wanker! I hadn't even thought of that. So basically, so here you go. I've got Netherlands versus Uruguay semi-final, 2010. It was on the 6th of July 2010. It's a classic goal. And basically what you get to do is recreate the classic goal. It shows you what the goal was and where the route of the ball went. And then when you play it, it says, right, okay, and you have to time your passes to go to the correct people so that Oh, you buggers, fuck off. So they actually shoot at the right time, and you actually play the whole goal through. And when you get that goal, you then advance to the next level, and you get another classic goal from 2010. And you advance and go further and further and further. It's addictive. It's a morning motion game as well, because actually you can see it, and it only takes sort of 15 seconds to go through the goal and fail or win.
Some of the goals are not as easy as you'd expect them to be.
No, and they're real goals as well, which is quite impressive, because some of them are like, bloody hell, I'm not a football fan and I'm addicted to it. But I've thought about you, Doc. There you go.
Nice. I'm in there.
Score. You're never going to see your wife again, mate. That's it.
Doc's new morning motion game.
Doc's a new morning. Dead legs.
Especially since I don't have a wife.
Doc's dead legs. Oh, okay, you know what I mean. And I just keep that to yourself, mate. Don't. Where can we get a hold of you?
Prefer to hang out with Patrice.
Camps.
I'm Camping UK on Twitter and in the Slack room.
And enjoying a curry soon with...
A curry soon with you.
With a couple of TP links, yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
Adam, great to have you on tonight, mate. Well done. Fantastic conversation. Well done on the research, and thanks for sending me the documents that made me not look like a twat completely. Where are you?
There's still a lot more to this. I think there's going to be a lot more coming out.
Well, we ain't doing it next week, so.
This is going to be ongoing for a long, long time, this battle.
Yeah.
Happy to help get at least some facts in here.
Where are you, mate?
You can find me over at MacCast.com, MacCast on Twitter. I also do the iOS show with Michael Johnston and Jeff Gamet at theiosshow.com. And I think that covers it.
Good, man. Thank you very much. Doc, last minute. You weren't a substitute. You were on the field. You got a full cap, so. But thanks for coming back.
Usurper.
Oh, man. See, I had something to say to Adam, and that just made me forget it. Anyway, on the BTN network, just being that ever-impressible Yank, and my Twitter and all of that crap is DOCROCK. You can find me everywhere. You can send me your hate mail.
I'm glad you forgot it, because we've only got 50 seconds. Where are you, Patrice?
On the BTN every week on the Mac show at casual_kitchen on Twitter, and all the links and stuff on thepatrice.com.
And Muller, where are you? Thanks for your input tonight, mate. It's really cool.
I'm Muller Biker on Twitter, Muller Biker on Slack, and I can be found on this network.
Good, man. Thanks ever so much, mate. If you want to get in the Slack room, all you got to do is send me an email. Send it to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. Say, please let me in the Slack room, and I will send you an invite to the Slack room. There's a whole pile of us in there. And last night, there was some heated debates. Don't get me wrong. I mean, Anders said to me this morning, he said, God, he said, you were going for it last night. I said, everything I typed in there, I had an enormous smile on my face. Not because I was trying to wind anyone up, but I was just like relishing the fact that this is what the Slack room is all about.
The sysadmins at Slack must have wondered what the hell was going on last night.
It was brilliant. It was absolutely awesome. And that is exactly what I wanted out of the Slack room. It's not Twitter. Yeah, okay, there's as many people in the Slack room who haven't got a frigging clue what they're talking about as Twitter. But at least they listened, and at least it evolved. The conversation moved. People went, oh, okay, fair enough. And you wouldn't get that on Twitter. You'd just get some social justice warrior that come in left field and skewer you in the ear. So
I know we're running late on time, but I just want to make one comment related to that, just for people who are listening, who have listened to this episode and go, God, these guys, you know, hate each other. One of the things I love about this network and what we do here is that we can all aggressively disagree with each other or agree with each other. And, you know, everybody still remains friends, and we know what this is all about. It's about, you know, getting to the correct information and a better understanding, and you know, I love that about this network and this group of people and the Slack and all of that stuff. So
thanks, man.
Literally the mates in the pub.
I got to say, that statement means a lot to me, because, you know, going back all those years ago when we started it and we came up with the idea of mates down the pub and this friendly, jovial network, we're not trying to be journalists. We're not trying to be ultra accurate. And the fact that we've done so much research for this episode is freaking abnormal. It's just where's Ewan Rankin? What have you done with him? He actually seemed to understand what he was talking about. That's not good enough. I'm sure I'm going to get emails telling me the opposite of that, but that means a lot to me, mate. Thank you so much, because that's what it meant.
At the end of the day, we're still all friends, people. Don't worry, we'll be back next week.
One of the nicest compliments that I ever got as well was off Eric Lanigan, and Eric Lanigan said, I love coming on this show because I can just be myself. and I still hold that very dear, very, very dear. We'll see you next week. Christ knows what we're going to talk about, but I promise it's not going to be Apple versus FBI. Thanks for listening.